It is my great honor and pleasure to introduce Willie Velez, who is going to be preaching his second sermon ever today. God has called me to do two primary things. One is to preach his word, and the other is to mentor and train leaders, specifically men, and Willie is awesome. I love him so much. He has been so great coming and meeting with me after long days of work when I'm sure he's ready to just give up and say, I'm done for the day, and to come and study God's word and to prepare for this message that he's getting ready to preach. I've heard it three or four times at this point by now, and I'm still excited about hearing it again. So it's going to be great, and you guys are going to be very blessed. Please welcome Willie Velez.
Good. Hello. Can you hear me? Christmas was good. Everybody had a good Christmas, ready for the new year. It's good. My Christmas was good, a little stressful, which it shouldn't be that way, but I guess I'm happy and proud that it's over with. What really made my day was the next morning. My daughter, Jenny, if you come up here, please. I know. She's got a Facebook. I've got a Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. I don't have much time, obviously, to do that. But it was pretty cool because we had a real good time with our family at our house. And Genevieve, prior to going to sleep that night, had posted a pretty touching post. So I just wanted to put it up here so she can tell you guys and share with you guys the post that she put on Facebook if you guys don't have a Facebook.
I put that I thank my parents for giving us another wonderful Christmas, and that the true meaning is to represent, you know, that Jesus Christ was born for our sins, and without him, we wouldn't be able to go to heaven. And I think everybody should know that, and not everybody knows the true meaning of Christmas, and me posting that showed many people what the true meaning of Christmas is, that it's not about getting gifts and everything. It's about being with your family and being and knowing that Christ came to this earth for us, to die on the cross for us, which we do not deserve at all.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. Sorry I had to do that, but, you know, again, like I said, I thought that was we've been coming here for a while, and I'm trying to get all my kids to do the same thing. And I've got five of my children to come to Christ, and I would hope that, you know, my other two children would follow him as well. And that being said, you know, that's our job, to lead our children to Christ, lead our neighbors, lead our friends, lead everybody that we know to Christ. So, and without anything else, I'm going to jump into prayer first. So if we can please stand, if you're able to pray, so we can go to God in prayer before we get on with this message this morning, okay? Our Father, thank you for all those that are here. Lord, thank you for the visitors. Thank you for everybody who always comes, Father. I specifically thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be here today to preach your word, to put the message that you put on my heart, to give to everybody else as well, Father. Thank you for all of our blessings. Thank you for where we fail you. As, again, Genevieve just reminded us again that we don't deserve anything you give us, Lord, but you are so gracious, so caring, so loving, that you provide for us, Father, in every single way possible. Thank you, Father, again, for washing our sins away. In your blessed Son, Jesus' name, amen. All right, sorry I had to do that, guys. Sorry I had to make you guys cry, but Brother Dan told me that a real good thing for somebody to do starting out is make fun of yourself. So I figured, hey, you guys can laugh at me and say Willie was crying again, you know. Today's the second time that I've been able to give Brother Dan a break, a time out from what he normally does every week. Well, just one of the things that he does, because we know he's a pastor, we know he's a Sunday school director, we know he leads music try to lead music, help out, right? You know? So, you know, he does a lot. He's a counselor. If you need him, you can call him. He's always here. You know, so being able to, again, give him the opportunity to rest. He slept himself like a baby. I said I didn't. You know, I was about 2 in the morning. I couldn't go to sleep. But he's like, well, I wasn't preaching today, so I was able to go to bed pretty early. So that being said, prior to the first time me speaking here in the church, Brother Dan challenged me with the question, say, hey, you know, I know you said you want to preach and you've been called to preach. You know what you want to preach about. You don't want to speak about. I'm like, whoa, I was stumped. Like, what are you asking me that for? No, I probably should have known it was coming. But I said, no, Brother Dan, honestly, I don't know what I would preach about. I've talked to friends numerous occasions about salvation, about their sins, and about what Jesus has done for us. But as a deacon, as a pastor, as a preacher, as somebody who want to preach the word, I don't know what my first sermon would be about. So he said, well, I recommend you go home, pray about it. Ask God what it is he wants you to speak to people about, what he wants to put on your heart, and make sure that whatever you do talk about is something that he's telling you and not what you want to say. All right, fair enough. Guy's been doing it a little bit longer than I have, right? Figured, okay, I go home and pray about it. Prayed over my meals, prayed in the morning, prayed at night, prayed at work. Like, man, what does he want me to preach about, you know? Lord, put it on me, you know, show me, put it in my vision. What do you want me to bring these people? What should I talk about? And no matter what I was doing, if I was eating, if I was playing, if I was sleeping, if I was watching a movie, if I was driving to work, listening to the radio, worship was what was coming to me. Worship, worship, worship. So I'm like, well, okay, dreaming, worship. No matter what it was, I mean, day in and day out, when I prayed about it, when it came out to him, I'm like, wow, kept writing down, worship, this was coming up. Want me to talk about worship? So next week, Dan and I met, and I know he's going to ask me, okay, Willie, you know what you're going to preach about? I said, hold on, let me finish, let him ask me the question. So I said, yeah, Dan, I want to talk about worship. And he's like, worship? You sure about that? You know, there's a, what do you mean? How to worship, when to worship, why to worship? That's a big area when the word worship comes up, you know? So I said, no, Brother Dan, you told me to pray about it, see what God's going to put on my heart, what he's going to talk to me about. And I said, you know, you said for my first sermon, I said, my next 7 sermons are going to be about worship. And he's like, wait, I told you 1 sermon. You already think about 7? I'm like, well, worship. Why not? There's 7 letters in worship. So I said, as a starting out pastor, as a preacher, why don't I go through the word of worship, the way it relates to me or the way I think that we should worship? So if you weren't here the first time I preached a couple months ago, you know, it was specifically, main point was how we as a church, we as a family can experience the great depth of Jesus through worship. So that's letter W, which brings us to the letter O today, which I'm going to, the letter O for me is obeying God or being obedient to God's word. Sorry. I might start my focal point off by being one way that we as a church family, we as a family period, we as a neighborhood congregation can follow Jesus and love people is by obeying God. So you might say, well, how am I supposed to obey God? Or what do you mean by obeying God? Come on, Will, are you serious? Just obeying God, being obedient to the Lord's word, being obedient to what he's putting on you, what he's telling you to do with your time, with your money, with your heart. We know that all those things he gives to us to borrow, to use, to work for him. So whether if it's money for him, if it's love for him, if it's sing for him, it's all for him. So how can you, again, you know, be obedient to the Lord by using what he's given you? You know, plenty of ways we can show obedience in our daily walk, in our weekly walk, in our life period. Being thankful for the Lord for what he's given you, what he's provided for you. Being available to the Lord if he's calling you to do a specific task that may need to be done. Taking care of the things that the Lord has blessed you with to borrow in the meantime while you're here. Blessed with the wife, blessed with children, blessed with your job, blessed with the car, your health. I mean, the list can go on and on with the things that maybe we may take for granted, but really it's we're on borrowed time, something he's letting us use. And what we do with it is really up to us, you know, but you should be using it for his glory. You know, the first scripture that I'm going to talk about is in John chapter 14, verse 15. You know, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. know, you would keep my rules. You would do what I ask you to do, what I tell you to do. You know, in Genesis 2:16, you know, he told Adam, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. You know, 17 goes on to say, but you must not eat from the tree of. I mean, he even went on to tell him what would happen if you didn't do what I told you to do, if you didn't follow my rules. You know, he says, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And that rule seems pretty simple. It seems okay. It's nothing hidden there. He says you can do this, but don't do this. Because if you will, this is a consequence. This is what's going to happen. I often try to think or put myself way back in that time. If I was Adam, if I was given the opportunity to be the first one of God's creations, if I would have been able to obey that commandment that he put out there for us to do. You know, stop and think about that for a minute. People say, oh, it was so easy. They didn't have to do that. All you have to do is not eat that apple. But they did. Again, if you were there, do you think you'd be able to hold that command? I know I wouldn't have. I know I would have fell short. So, you know, God could have made us, pounded in our heads, you do what I tell you to do, nothing else. God could have made Adam do whatever he wanted to make him do. But that's not the way God is. He didn't make robots. It's not a remote control controlling us. Well, that's the kind of father he is. He gives us the opportunity to make choices. He's going to tell you, hey, this is what you got to do. A lot of times we may steer the other way. You know, he wants us to worship him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to fellowship, you know. Goes back to the W, worship, worshiping God. And where we're at right now, letter O, obeying God. It's no different than me telling one of my children, hey, don't do this or you're going to get in trouble. No different than maybe your mom or your dad giving you rules is when you were a kid, when you were a child, when you were a teenager, when you were a young adult. Even as a young adult, your parents may give you rules to follow. And if you don't do them, there's some consequences. You know, show of hands, how many of you guys had rules, had to be in by a certain time? How many of you guys, you know, had to, here you go, you know, how many of you guys couldn't talk at the dinner table about anything that had to do with dinner, you know? I don't want to hear about that, you know? It's just a rule, simple rule. We have them. You know, right from wrong. You know, discipline and punishment are consequences to what we do, consequences to our actions. Everything that you do, it's going to affect somebody else. It's going to affect you. For good or bad. And there's consequences that you have to atone to at some point for what you do with your time here. No one wants to have rules over them. Nobody likes being told what to do. There's stop signs, there's stop lights, there's yield signs. If you don't follow those rules, what's going to happen? Big accident. Utter chaos. Train railings coming down. If you don't listen to the train railing, could be it for you. You know, the rules are there for a reason. All you have to do is abide by them. Like I said, they're here to keep you accountable for what you do. You know, one way that I feel that maybe I can or that we can God and obey God is by loving other people. You know, by sacrificing our time, maybe some of our wants, some of our needs, for somebody else who may be less fortunate. Somebody else who maybe can't do for themselves or just need somebody to be there for them. You know, studying the Bible with somebody on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, help strengthen their relationship with God. Helping out physically if they can't do certain tasks because they're getting elderly or they're ill, just don't have maybe the know-how to do something because somebody else did it for them prior. Again, how about just even being there for somebody to have a seat, have a cup of coffee with, and just listen to what's going on in their life? Lend a hug, lend an ear. Sometimes just talking to somebody just makes you feel much better, getting stuff off of your chest. You know, by trusting in God's obedience, you know. By trusting in God in our obedience. We know that God makes good on his promises. We know that God take care of us. Take care of our needs. You know, a little testament to that. You know, my loving wife was friends with somebody, and you know, they needed some help, and I knew the people too, and I hung out with people all the time after work or whatever, and just never thought that God was talking to me to help this person out with the situation. Day comes and I come home, Michelle's like, I said, hey, where's this at? Where's that at? She goes, oh, I had to use that to help somebody out. I'm like, what? You mean you took what we had for this to give to them for that? Yep. She stood firm. Yeah, I did. I could have got mad, could have started an argument over it. But why? Stop and think about it. All she was doing was being obedient to what God was putting on her heart. He tried to put it on my heart. I wasn't listening. I'm not going to give what I got here to give to that. Are you serious? He was serious. You know, long story short, the same year, a couple months later, probably this time last year, we started having a problem with our furnace. And this was before we went through the financial peace class. We didn't know about a emergency fund, having some money put aside in case something happened, and our furnace started acting up the year before. We had a few problems with it, but we were able to band-aid it, change a part here and there that it took forever to find, but got another year out of it. A lot cheaper than buying a brand new furnace for the money that we didn't have. So this year, that's it. The furnace said, I'm not turning on. No, no, no. You can do what you want, beating on it, cleaning it, calling guys out, wasting money, having people come look at it for no reason, because apparently this furnace was kind of like myself, from the 70s, broken down, old, can't find parts for it no more. You know, somebody said it was a dinosaur, or I don't know if it's a T-Rex or whatever, but I'm like, wow, you're serious? You can't fix this? Not to mention it was probably sucking extra money out of my wallet, out of our wallet, out of God's wallet, paying for my house to warm up when it wasn't as efficient as what something 2009, 2010 would be. So, you know, God put two family members, I guess, in responsibility for that. He talked to them and said, hey, you know what? These guys are in need. One gentleman said, here, you know what? Whatever the furnace is going to cost, here's the money. You let me know. Pay it back later. No problem. Wow. Great. The other gentleman was living with me, and he was able to find a furnace for us. He was able to install a furnace for us. I'm like, whoa, are you serious? Even better. Free labor. Cheap. Saved me thousands of dollars. You know, it came to a point where obviously I built up the money back that I owed this gentleman, and I told him, hey, I would pay for it. And I'm like, hey, I want to be a man of my word. Hey, here's the money I'm giving you back. Thank you for helping us out to pay for this that we needed. And he's like, no, I'm not expecting you to pay me back for that. I'm like, are you serious? I was like, whoa, right? You, man, warm, fuzzy feeling. Talking about a warm, fuzzy feeling, you know. Here I am working hard, working overtime, working extra day a week to get a little bit extra more money so I can pay the gentleman off the money, knowing that he needed it, because I know it wasn't in his plans to just pay for somebody's furnace if they needed one. He said, nope. I was just glad that I was able to be a blessing for you. I was just glad I was able to help you guys out. You know, I thought to myself, wow, you know, here I am stressing the fact that my wife is helping somebody else out who God tried to tell me to help out, but I didn't. And I was stressing it, but maybe not showing it, but I was stressing it. Come on now. I wouldn't be human if I wasn't showing it, if I wasn't feeling that. All the while, God was going to provide for me. Taking from you right now, I'm going to give back to you tenfold. There would have been no way that I could pay for a brand new furnace if God wouldn't have sent these two guys into our life to help us out. If you didn't put it on their hearts, you say, hey, you know what? I'm telling you something. Do it. And they were like, no question. What do you need? Money? Okay, no problem. What do you need? Put it in? No problem. I'm like, whoa. Like showing me, I guess, what I should have been saying the first time. You know, God's always going to provide, no matter how little, how small, no matter how you feel about the situation. If God's talking to you, he's put on your heart, just listen to him. Lord, how do you want me to do this? Lord, how will I be able to do this? And if you're asking, you better be listening, because he's going to tell you. He'll let you know. How many times you guys ask a kid something, and boy, they tell you right off the bat, no hesitation. Well, you didn't think what you said. Hold on. You sure about that? Yeah, that's what you asked me, Dad. I'm going to tell you. You see, God, again, like I said, he provides whenever you're in need. You know, talking about being obedient, we see that Daniel chapter 9, you know, we see that Daniel's praying for the people of Israel. You know, he's going through seeing the city of Israel being disobedient, being rebellious, worshiping false gods, living in sin. You know, he's praying for God's mercy. He's begging for God's mercy over these people. Because again, they listen to nobody else that came before him to tell them, hey, make sure you obey God. Worship God and God only. Don't do this, don't do that. But they totally went the other way, were going against what they were told to do. You know, if you read that chapter, you see that Daniel prayed with openness and willingness and you know, sincerity. You know, he fasted. He took himself away from everybody else, just trying to go one-on-one with the Lord about these situations that he saw going on in front of him. And he knew that they were about to get it. The wrath of the Lord was coming. You think about it, we're that same people of Israel. I don't know if you do. I know I would like, when I pray to the Lord, to be open, to be sincere, to be true, to not bring anything else into it. But right now I'm talking to you and only you, Father. No distractions. Again, I want to try to challenge you. When you talk to the Lord, are you open? Are you sincere? Are you truthful? Are you praying for the right things? Or are you just going through the motions? Everybody's looking, I better pray. I better make sure my eyes are closed. I better make sure my head's down. God says, pray to him, open your arms, pray to him, look to him. Ask for it. Ask and you shall receive. I know that I need to do a better job at it, and I try to do a better job every day. And that's all we can ask. Back to obeying God. We know that in the Old Testament, you know, God gave Moses 10 commandments for everybody to follow. These are my rules, and I expect for you to go out and make sure that everybody knows them. Fast forward to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. You know, Jesus was asked, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? No, he replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Goes on to say that this is the first and the greatest commandment of all. I like 39. 39 says the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. Love that stranger as yourself. You want the best for yourself. You want the best for your children. You want the best for your family. Why wouldn't you want the best for your neighbor? The Bible says that. You know, we have rules, and again, the rules are put in place for our protection. God created us so we can have a relationship with him through our obedience to him. You know, if we go to Romans 3:23, it says, you know, we've all sinned. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody. Not one of us is perfect. And nobody out there in the world is perfect. We don't deserve His grace, but He still loves us. We don't deserve His blessings, but He still blesses us. You know, and in the next verse I've got, which probably everybody knows, if not, it's one that's known worldwide. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That who believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So, right there, it's telling you, look it. You're not worthy. I've got to send my Son to come down there and die for you, to cleanse you, to clean what you've done, to erase what you've done. And in doing so, if you trust Him, if you come to Him, I've got more gifts for you. You come hang out with me in heaven afterwards. You take your side right here. You know, we need to listen to God. We need to ask for forgiveness from God. We need to obey God. You know, and again, back to my focal point, the one way that we can obey God is by following Jesus and loving other people. That's a pretty easy one. Pick up a phone, call a friend, call a neighbor, call somebody who's sick, you ain't seen them, stop by their house, I'm coming over, can we hang out, can we read? You know, the last question or challenge I'd like to, you know, maybe put out there for all of us is, you know, how are you not being obedient to what the Lord's telling you to do? You know, pray about that. Take baby steps if you have to, but again, how are you not being obedient and maybe what the Lord's calling you to do? I know, again, the Lord was calling me to help somebody out. I totally disregarded it. He bypassed me right to my wife. My wife said, watch this. Oh, man. I felt pretty bad. So, again, if you listen, if you're hearing God talk to you and you're not sure what He's saying, you want to find ways to be obedient to the Lord, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love for you to come up and ask the Lord for forgiveness. We'd love for you to come down and ask you to be a member of the church. We're going to close out in prayer. Our Father, thank You, Lord, for, again, the opportunity, Lord, to be here. Lord, thank You for making Your presence felt. Father, I ask for guidance for all. I ask, Lord, that You help us be obedient to what You're putting on our hearts, for what You want us to do for You, for Your kingdom, Lord, for Your mission. And again, Father, I'm going to ask again, if there's somebody here that doesn't know You, Lord, that, again, You touched them, You tapped them on the shoulder and said, hey, I'm here for You. We love to pray for them, Father. We love to bring them to Your kingdom, Father. Thank You for all of our blessings. Again, as I said, Father, You bless us daily, even though we don't deserve it. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy, Father. All this I ask, Father, in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.